What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I was reading with great interest today. Steelers Depot had some of the quotes from Jim Rooney, who I'm friendly with. I know you are too, Bob.
He's yes, very nice man.
Art II's brother, obviously Dan's son, and well steeped, of course, obviously, in the history of the Steelers, having been really immersed in it all his life from the days as a ball boy out at training camp and things like that, to this very second. I had him on a couple times around the Christmas season talking about a different way to win. Story about his dad, Dan, that was turned into an audiobook. It's unbelievable stuff. So Jim did an interview. Who was this with, Limits?
This was on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
On the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Jim Rooney was on, talking about really the state of the franchise here, Bob. And I think this may have given us a really clear window into Art's type of thinking. I don't think that that's a crazy leap. Why don't we take a listen to this for a little bit and then talk about it?
I think it's an organization issue, not just Mike. I think all of us are responsible for the outcomes. And I think we take responsibility. I don't want to get into excuse making, but the reality is we outperform the NFL mean at a greater rate than just about any team for the last 25 years. Another team that has been in that category in terms of outperforming that mean has been the Ravens. There's no other team that either in either case that have been as successful and has a division rival that has outperformed the mean. So, you know, when you look at the challenges we face, I think if this was a boxing match and you were judging, you know, the competition, not just looking at the winning percentage, you would have to say that you know, we have performed in a harder circumstance than most, and we've outperformed them. Having said that, I understand no one wants to lose playoff games. You know, the goal is to win the Super Bowl, and you have to get to there, which we do. You have to get to playoffs, which we do well, and you have to win playoff games, which we haven't. So, you know, the other excuse I'll make there, though, also let's throw this in is, you know, look, the guys that we've lost some bad playoff games, but we also lost to three guys that have some pretty, you know, unique names, Manning, Brady, and Mahomes. You know, like that's the playoff route we have to go to get to those wins. So again, I don't want to be making any excuses, but I also think if you're going to make an argument, you should look at the facts in the matter. And I think the Steelers organization and Mike Tomlin have outperformed, you know, any expectation you could have of any NFL team.
There's a lot there. And it's definitely true that you have to deal with the Ravens. One of the things we've talked about with the Patriots dynasty and the Chiefs dynasty is the divisions they've played in. However, aside from that, it feels to me like this is all viewed in the huge picture. In Jim's case there, it was basically a quarter century of football. And I don't know that what happened in 2004 and 6 and 13 or whenever applies to nowadays. And I guess it depends on how you frame it. He framed it that way. In the past quarter century, we outperformed the NFL mean. I don't know that really indicates where the Steelers are. That puts them in the company of bunches of good teams. Whereas the company they're actually keeping is with the Jets and Raiders and Cardinals of the world, of having the longest playoff win drought in the NFL. More to the point, it's not just about losing playoff games. And I've been trying to drive this home since the end of the season. It's about not being competitive in any of them.
Correct.
Not being competitive ever in a playoff game. You have kids getting ready for high school who have no conscious memory of the Pittsburgh Steelers being competitive in a playoff game. And Bob, what I draw from all of this, there's some other quotes here, is maybe understandably, I think the Rooney family, I think Art II in particular, this is my best guess, has seen what it's like when you never win, when you're the butt of every joke. When they went from their inception in 1933 all the way till 1972 with zero playoff wins. You want to talk about a playoff win drought. Unfortunately, I think that has them living in their fears right now, living in their fears that they don't ever want to go back to that. They don't want to be the Jets. Unfortunately, that's actually who they're keeping company with these days in terms of never winning a playoff game. And not only that, but when they get there, and they've missed, by the way, during this 8-year drought, almost 40% of the times they haven't gotten to the playoffs, 3 years out of 8, they have no chance. They're getting destroyed. It's been almost a decade where the Pittsburgh Steelers have no chance to win a championship and aren't even competitive in a playoff game. And I don't think fans want to hear about how they outperform the mean over the last quarter century. That to me is sort of meaningless.
No, I hear what you're saying, and I would agree, because I think they want to take the next step and the next step. And that's what they keep talking about with their standard. The standard should be winning Super Bowls. They'll tell you that at the beginning of the season. Mike Tomlin does it every single preseason. That's the standard. Well, it's good to be able to be in the conversation all the way to the end every year. I think that's very good starting place. You have to be there. But then the next one is what you do when you get there. And you're right. There haven't been any competitive games. And what's worse is they fall behind the same way, it seems, on every single one of these games.
Yeah.
They're out of it by the first quarter. That's not the way you're supposed to do. And you know, people start to expect that. You get into these playoff games and, you know, it's the same kind of game planning. It's the same kind of first and second quarter that lead to lopsided scores that force you to get out of your what you want to do, and they make it look closer than it is, and the scores are misleading. So, yeah, that's not what you want. But I think they believe that if they are in the conversation and get in, that's where it starts. It should start there. You're judged on these games. Regular seasons are fine, but you got to win these games. You got to be a factor in these games.
How about being competitive in them?
Well, that's what I mean. You got to be a factor. You can't just go there and be happy with going there. I know for a fact they're not happy with losing the way they lose. But I think they put a lot of emphasis on being a team that's constantly in that conversation by the end of the year.
What's the conversation?
Being in a conversation to get to the playoffs.
You have to be. Do you know how?
I know.
I think that is what they think, Bob. but they're not in the conversation of who do we take seriously as a Super Bowl contender.
Which is why they're often underdogs in just about every one of these
double
games.
Double digit.
Big time.
To which I would ask, if you go in, you barely get in by one game, which they do usually. You're a double digit afterthought and you get kicked out by blowout. How much better off are you than the teams that missed? Really? Are you any better off? And B is that 44% of the teams make the playoffs in the NFL. It's not some jaw-dropping achievement.
Right.
And therefore, almost every team is in it with about 3 weeks left. I don't think it's any great feat. And more to the point, you have to be really bad to be out of it. More to the point, I don't look at a professional football franchise like a mutual fund. Like, let's not get too crazy here. Just stand back and watch it.
Right.
There'll be good years. There'll be okay
2%
years.
2% growth every year.
Yeah, let's watch it over
growth.
The quarter century.
Yeah.
Is that how the Philadelphia Eagles run their franchise?
No,
I don't think so.
Recently, no. They've been not shy about making changes. Even Baltimore has not been shy about making changes in season.
And the remarkable part with the Steelers, here's the remarkable part. If it's their history that's informing their philosophy now, their worldview now. Like, we went all those years being the butt of jokes. We're never going to go back there. Well, what about the part of your history where every single Super Bowl you won was born of a losing season? In the first case, the 70s dynasty, it was born on multiple years of losing
seasons. 1-13, 1-13.
That's how you get Franco Harris and Terry Bradshaw's. You stink. How did you get Ben? We all talk about this marvelous non-losing streak. The great irony being the guy most responsible for it, who was Ben, was born of a 6-10 season, was born of a losing season. So if you really are going to study history and base your franchise philosophy on it, then you know you better be bad at some point. That it's more to the point, it's okay to be really bad. Now, Jim also told Ross Tucker that, quote, they'll, talking about Steelers fans, will burn the city down if we go 3-13 3 years in a row, but that's generally how you get one of those top guys. See, I think Steelers fans are almost as upset as they could possibly be right now. And I think, I don't know, for 3 years at 3-13, but if they sunk for 1 year, yeah, people would be bitching and moaning, but it would be the best thing for the franchise. It really would, and I've been saying that for years now.
As long as you make the right pick with a quarterback, absolutely. That's how you change it.
Well, that would give you your chance to make the right pick.
You have to make the right pick, and you'd have to be in a much better position to do it. I think more people are just I think they're just to the point where they think everything is stale. That's the word that I keep hearing and I keep thinking of. It's stale. It's the same kind of stuff year in and year out. I think most people want change because of that, quote, staleness. And when it doesn't happen, they think people are just okay with that continuing to be the way it is.
Because that is the way it looks.
When you're not productive in the postseason after all these years. So,
right.
You know, they gotta change their ways sometimes. But to that end, we haven't seen much in the way of change. And I thought by now we would. I realize they've gone through their meetings or whatever, anything else. Something should be coming out fairly soon, I would think, about at least some change. And if you don't change anything, then that same staleness may, you know, pervade all the way through.
What do you think out there about Jim Rooney's statements? And is it a window into, I can't help but think it is, into his brother's worldview regarding this franchise? And again, I compare it to an investment, a mutual fund, where your financial advisor says, don't be looking at this thing every day. Stand back. It's going to get up. It's going to get down. There's going to be good days, bad days. Look at it over time. Jim mentioned 24 years we've been above the mean. I don't know that that moves anybody, to which I think people inside that organization would say, we're not here to do what the fans want us to do. If we did what the fans wanted us to do, we'd be firing coaches like the Cleveland Browns. I hear that. But this wouldn't be a willy-nilly decision here to move on from Mike Tomlin, especially when somebody like the Bears calls about a trade. To me, it would be a long time coming. And again, if you're really doing your Steelers history, you know that you needed to stink to get to be great. And I disagree with Jim. I think a couple of horrible seasons the fans could live with if it meant getting their quarterback, if it meant getting a guy they truly
absolutely
truly
if that were
in.
If that were the carrot at the end of this and there was a quarterback who would be in the Burrow, Jackson, Allen range, and you can get one of those guys because you desperately need one of those guys. I don't think there's any question about that. But to get there, if you don't become a 3-14 team, 4-13 team, then you better be willing to go outside your comfort zone and make trades to get you in a position to do that. If that's how it's going to be, because at 21, 22, 30, you're never going to really get the kind of person you want in terms of quarterbacks, I don't think.
412-928-9370, 928-9370. When you hear somebody who's really on the inside there espousing what I think is the franchise philosophy, how does that move you? What do you think? Like I think there's two extremes, Bob. There's the fan in everybody that says after a big loss, fire everybody. And then this is the opposite extreme. Let's not do anything for 25 years. Let's just keep this thing basically the way it is. You know, those are the two extremes. There's got to be somewhere in the middle here. And I think, and I was watching Ramon Foster the other day on the Ben podcast, who's a Tomlin fan and didn't necessarily say he should be fired, but he did say, if I ever figured it would happen, it would be now with the way this season ended. And plus, I would just add this long string of seasons where it's easy to say, sure, you'd love to win playoff games and we haven't been winning them. No. That's not telling the whole story. You haven't been anywhere near competitive in a playoff game in 8 years. You get blown out every time. You're failing as a franchise. If you want to measure it by non-losing seasons and making the playoffs more often than not, that's great. 44% of the teams get in. You're keeping real company with the Jets, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Bears, teams like that who either have gone years and years without a playoff game. Well, yeah, that have gone years and years without winning a playoff game. That's who you're keeping company with.
Yeah, that's what's got to change. I don't think there's any question about it. You got to not just be there. You have to get there and do something there. And again, I cited the difference between the Ravens and the Steelers right now. They have a quarterback who you know is going to get you in a position to win some of these. They may not do it, but in the games that they lose even, they're very, very competitive up until the very end. But you need to get to that point and win those games. You can't just go into it and automatically be done at halftime.
The difference is, you mentioned it, the Ravens are in the conversation and the only one that counts, who can win it. The Ravens win playoff games, and even when they lose, they're great games where they absolutely belong, and they'll be one of the top three teams, I bet, Vegas odds next year, to win the Super Bowl.
They already are.
That doesn't mean they're immune from criticism, but they're in it.
Yeah.
The Steelers, on the other hand, unfortunately, are an imposter that nobody takes seriously and hasn't for nearly a decade as a Super Bowl contender. Maybe the 1 year they went 13-3 and lost to Blake Bortles. All right, let's hit the phones.
That was another word. That one right there, the fact that you went in and lost to Blake Bortles at home tells you, a lot of what you need to hear.
Limits, who do we got?
All right, let's start with Fred.
Hey, Fred. Fred. Next.
Fred.
Fred sounded like he was on an airplane.
No Fred here.
With no
is
pilot.
Tim is in the North Hills.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, I hope Fred's all right.
He might be,
I don't know if he's hanging
maybe
out.
Maybe he's shoveling snow or something. Yeah, he just ran out of gas.
What's up?
He's doing the scene for Mission Impossible. You guys, I feel like one thing that's missing in this discussion is, do we, a few losing seasons to get the quarterback and everything like that. The reason why I want Mike Tomlin gone, and I was a staunch defender of him for years, is because I think even if they had those losing seasons and they kept him around, he couldn't develop the quarterback. I think he's just so stuck in his, I'm going to have these older coordinators who do what I want to do. I'm going to surround myself with them. So when you don't have this young offensive coordinator or this offensive guys in the building who can say, hey, here's how you develop a Jaden Daniels, or here's how you develop, Caleb Williams or players like
no,
that.
No, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is a main character in all the failures. People act like he's a victim of this roster and not an architect of the roster. Adam Schefter said it well the other day, sir, and when he said on ESPN, you can't, and they were talking about the Steelers' inability to replace Ben so far. Schefter said, and I quote, "You can't tell me that Mike Tomlin doesn't have the loudest, most prominent voice in that organization. So the fact that they've been unable to get the quarterback for that organization is as much on him as the playoff losing streak." Bingo.
So even to add to that, though, I mean, if Jaden Daniels was if they say the Steelers traded up and they got him, he's not going to be Jaden Daniels. He's going to be doing check down.
Bob, that's fair. That's a great point.
No, it is fair because the philosophy is the same, which is to say, let's not make mistakes. Let's not turn the ball over. We're going to run the ball first and foremost. And that's all fine, except when it doesn't work and when it's consistently the same result, then you have to change some of that. That's why different viewpoints from the outside vis-a-vis different coaches, you know, the longer you wait, this is the other concern. If they're going to make coaching changes, the longer they wait, the fewer good coaches are available. They're all going to be gobbled up by these teams getting new head coaches.
Right.
And you've already seen that. So if you're going to make changes, you got to, do it fairly quickly.
It's interesting because when you have Ben, he's running the show, basically. I know they brought in Todd Haley to sort of quelch a little bit of the gunslinger in him. But Tomlin's theme through the Ben era, until the end anyway, was we got to live with whatever mistakes he makes. He's a gunslinger. When you have a guy like that, you live with it. Since then, and it feels like this is a direction the organization has taken at large, ironically, it's Mike Tomlin living in his fears up and down the roster, including with the quarterback, taking, a safe guy like Kenny Pickett,
which explains why the pass patterns are mostly to the boundaries. That's a safer play. It's incomplete. You catch it or there's a penalty. You don't have to worry about tips in the middle of the field and that sort of thing.
I think this segment, really, when I listen to Jim, I consider Art and Mike. I think the Steelers' motto is don't screw up. Don't make a mistake. This is okay. This is not as bad as it used to be. This is better than most. Over the last quarter century, we're outperforming the NFL mean. We're never going to go back to what we used to be. This isn't so bad. Don't make a mistake. Let's not screw it up. And it's funny because Doug Whaley was on here today, and I've been espousing that. He said the exact same thing, Bob, on the morning show. He said, here's the biggest issue. The Rooneys and Mike Tomlin fear taking a step back to take three steps forward. That's it. It comes down to they don't want to have a losing season, Whaley said. That moniker that they like to live up to is impeding them to be able to say, let's start building for a championship. That is brilliant, and that is well said. And I think we've just been given another window into that is truth.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. For over 50 years, 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And what's cooking? That's where we're at now, Bob. Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Bob, what was the highlight of the show for you?
Learning about Jay Caulfield's travels as a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins and how it differs from minor league hockey to major league hockey.
He said they got $5 a day in the minors. They couldn't even go to a fast food place.
I know.
And then they got a $100 a day in the NHL?
$100 a day. That was back then. So I think it's probably $200 a day now, probably a little bit more.
Plus they're traveling charter everywhere. The Chicago Bulls traveled by commercial for a while with Jordan. Can you imagine that, Bob?
Things change. Now you have your own plane. You have everything waiting for you as you get on. How about you? What was your most memorable moment of today's show?
There was the time when Limits ripped Pony, introducing a segment. Do you remember that? There was the time we played...
Said it was on the goal line. Pony got mad at me. He sent me a message saying, "You ripped me?" I said, "No, it was just playfully talking.
No, it wasn't. You ripped him at the beginning. I said, "What is Pony's tweet on Jalen Milroe?" You said, "Well, he says according to sources," and you know what happened the last time he said that.
I did say that.
That was a good shot, Bob.
I thought it was all in good fun.
Yeah.
It's all in good fun.
We'll see if he did.
I don't think
when
he
we listen to his show
he'll
today.
He'll take a shot back, which is fine.
I don't remember the show, Bob. Whenever I'm done with the show, I don't remember what happened. Do you ever go back and listen to any parts of it?
Sometimes, depending on what the topics are. But yeah, I think we covered a lot of ground. That's why you don't remember.
I love talking to Jay today. We just went with his life in hockey.
I also thought the Paul Skeens conversation was interesting with that ticket, with that card, because I don't know the actual value, but there are so many methods to do this. We had a friend of ours, Andy Fisher, texted you as me. He said, best thing you do is take the $1 million. You're gonna lose 500,000 of it to taxes, which I think is unfair. But then you take the 500G and you invest it. If you let it sit for about 10, 20 years, you'll end
up... The way the Steelers do with their football franchise, yes.
But the point is, you'll get retaxed again because there's capital gain taxes. When do the taxes stop? But that's what he would do. He would take the cash, if it was available, at $1 million, and then invest what's left out of the million after the tax is taken out. I don't know if I'd do that.
I don't know. I don't trust investing anymore. I don't trust anything or anyone anymore, Bob. Do you? I'm tired.
No, I can tell you.
Do you take a nap after the show?
No, I had to go home, take a shower, and go to work.
I think Ron traumatized me on this show. He did. It took emotional recovery time every day from
so you take a nap
dealing
now?
With that. Yeah, I go home. I sit in the big brown lazy boy chair.
How long is your nap?
With lime Tostitos and a Diet Coke. And then I tempt Bailey the dog to come over with a piece of cheese. So he comes up and cuddles with me. And then I nap for like half hour, dead asleep.
Wow. It's good it's not more than 30 minutes. If you go beyond that, then it becomes...
Then you get groggy.
Yes.
Yeah. And Limits, you what's your after show routine?
Typically I'll go home and typically just write something that I need to write and listen to the PM guys and... Whether either go to a basketball game, call a basketball game, or consume some type of basketball this time of year
is
with football winding down.
Your favorite sport?
That's tough because you know how much I love baseball and football. It's hard because they're all like 1A, 1B, 1C to me, those three.
If you could go home tonight and watch a great game in any sport, what would it be?
Probably.
Depends. Are you talking about games that have already been played?
No, like, what's your favorite sport? This isn't a complicated question.
I'd say baseball just because of everything I do with the Wiffle Ball
baseball.
League. It's pretty much apparent.
Baseball?
That or basketball.
If you could go home tonight and watch on TV a game of any kind, it would be baseball?
No.
Oh my
but that doesn't
God,
mean
Bob.
It's not my favorite sport,
though.
What is
happening here? Well, all right. I didn't think that was complicated.
I don't know.
What's
like
your favorite sport,
Bob?
Well, it would be football in a well-played game, but also I love hockey. Playoffs, when they're on, I watch just about every game.
I like basketball. It's my favorite
sport. I
like sport.
Basketball,
my second
too.
Favorite sport is football, and sometimes that becomes my first favorite if it's the playoffs. If I could play any sport, it would be basketball. How about you?
No, I want to be a top flight golfer. Absolutely. Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah,
are you
now.
Kidding?
I mean, but if I could have
money,
played any sport.
So much money, and you don't put your body at risk.
How about you, City Dweller?
Basketball is my favorite sport to play.
Me too.
Definitely.
You're
is.
Very
I'm
good.
I'm playing
at it.
Tonight.
Good. See
would you like
tomorrow.
To come?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No, he
Bye.
Shouldn't go. He's going to be tired. He takes a nappy. Tostitos, you think he's capable of running up and down the court?
Tostitos.
Come on.
Bye.
Do you
good
like
night.
The lime flavored, Bob?
No.
What's your favorite kind?
I don't eat those.
You said you have crunchy treats every
right.
night,
it's
salty treats.
Salty potato chips. And that's,
oh, what
that's
kind?
My, oh, my
Cheddar
goodness.
Cheese, sour cream and onion?
All of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Pringles,
I just,
too?
I like, and I'm trying to, you know what I'm trying to do? Take a page out of the Soprano guy who started eating carrots to lose weight. I'm eating carrots a lot. Snap, crackle, carrot. I like it.
Good night, Limits.
Good night.
In other news, the New York Jets are cornering in on hiring Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn as their new head coach. More 93.7thefan.com. Headlines to Power by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. PM team next.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.